Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Nnamdi, let's begin in your backyard there in Los Angeles. Staples Center was the venue for a recent fight that you were ringside for. Spence Porter, Errol the Truth Spence versus Sean Showtime Porter. Spence unifies the welterweight category with a 12-round split decision. Your thoughts on this fight, Nnamdi?
Sonny, it was a close competitive fight. This fight is a candidate for fight of the year. Some people gave 7 rounds to 5 rounds to Porter. Some gave it 8-4 for Spence. But all in all, if not for that 11th round flash knockdown, I had the fight going into the 11th round was a draw. The fans got their money's worth. It was an electric night at the Staples Center right here in Los Angeles.
Would you like to see a rematch?
Definitely, I'd like to see a rematch because it was a fight that showed that the division is loaded with talent. I'm talking about the welterweight division. And it's an unfinished business. We must come back to see if Errol Spence is the real deal, because now they're talking about Errol Spence, the pay-per-view fighter. They want him to fight Manny Pacquiao, fight Terence Crawford. But he still needs to finish this business with Sean Porter, and then we can put him on that place where I say, oh, yeah, he can draw. He's a big pay-per-view fighter. He's not a bad fighter. He can punch. He stood his ground, and Sean Porter was all over him. So kudos to Errol Spence Jr. But I think we need to see a rematch before he can move forward.
After Spence's victory, Nnamdi, Danny Garcia was in the ring, and they announced him as Spence's next opponent. Will that fight come off?
That's another good fight. It's all about styles, you know. You look at Sean Porter's style with Errol Spence's style. It just didn't merge, you know. But with Danny Garcia, come forward, straight come forward style, and Spence standing right there, I think it's a fight that fight fans will want to see. But Danny Garcia has not really been that busy lately. I'll still give an edge to Errol Spence to beat Danny Garcia. But it will be a good fight, Sonny.
Nnamdi, in New York City over the weekend, Gennady Golovkin won the vacant IBF middleweight title with a 12-round unanimous decision over Sergei Derevyanchenko from Ukraine. We both watched the fight, Nnamdi. I was not impressed with Triple G. In fact, I gave the fight to Derevyanchenko.
Sonny, you're not the only one. I call that fight the Madison Square Garden escape. For the fact that he walked out of the ring with a belt, that just shows you right there that he was given what we call a gift. After the first round knockdown of Derevyanchenko, Triple G went into a shell. Triple G had no power. I mean, shots to the ribcage, we saw Triple G folding, Sonny. So he was very slow, and he just didn't have it. They're talking about, hey, he was sick, he had the flu. Now, come on, these are all excuses. But Saturday night at Madison Square Garden, he got beat down, and he was holding in the 10th round. There was a point in the 10th round that I thought he was going to be stopped, you know. So this was not the Triple G we saw go toe-to-toe with Canelo. So that fight right there deserves a rematch.
Do you think age is finally catching up with Triple G?
Oh, yes, Sonny. He's been in fights. He's been fighting a whole bunch of bums, you know. This is the first time he really fought a guy that would back him up. And in this fight, proved that he cannot fight going back. Look at every time Derevyanchenko backed him up. He couldn't fight. So what would have happened if that was Canelo? Canelo would have knocked him out. So age is a factor right there. It's time to, like, maybe 4 more fights, and then he can pack it in because he's made tons and tons of money.
Triple G has had 2 close fights with Canelo. One was a draw. The other he lost by decision. Any chance of a 3rd fight against Canelo?
Canelo will have to take care of business against Sergey Kovalev. That one is happening in Las Vegas for the WBO light heavyweight title. Mind you, Canelo was once 154, 160, and 168 world champion. This would be one of the first Mexicans to move up two weight divisions. And I think when Canelo is done with Kovalev, a rematch with Triple G will be what the fans want to see. Assuming Triple G will give Sergey a rematch and don't lose that fight. If I was Triple G, I would sit out and wait for Canelo in 2020 because that's where the money is.
Canelo said he doesn't need Triple G at this point, though, Namdi.
For real, he doesn't need Triple G. Triple G after Saturday night does not bring much to the table. And Triple G makes all kinds of demands. He wants 60-40 split, 50-50 split. Not after what you did Saturday night at Madison Square Garden. So go give a rematch to the Ukrainian fighter before you talk about fighting Canelo. Canelo's got a big fish to fry now with Kovalev because that's not going to be an easy fight. And, you know, and then Canelo will have to look really good for the fans to demand the rubber match with Canelo and Triple G.
Let's move up to the heavyweight division. Tyson Fury, last time we chatted about him, bad cuts over his eye, but he did defeat the Swedish opponent Otto Wallin. What's the latest with Fury's status?
Oh, come on, Sonny. You remember I made fun of the Uber driver? the Swedish Uber driver. You made fun of the Swedish Uber driver. Swedish Uber driver went in there and really gave him a beating, busted him up. Had him all blooded all over the ring, and he looked really, really bad. And you wonder, why coming to America to fight? Whereas you can sell out stadiums in the UK. He looked really bad. At one point, the fight was about to be stopped. You know, at one point, we were scared for Tyson Fury because he was bloodied and the referee didn't stop the fight. And all the politics that went into it was just a joke.
Namdi, I mentioned those cuts suffered by Tyson Fury. Understand some controversy involving the use of instant replay about those cuts.
Yes, Sonny, instant replay for the first time in boxing, brought in by this Nevada State Athletic Commission, but kind of failed because the instant replay was not used to determine what caused the cut for Tyson Fury. The referee said it was a headbutt. By going into the instant replay, they realized it was a left hook, and the referee did not inform both corners. If the fight was stopped after the cut, it would have been a technical decision for the Swedish fighter, Otto Wallin, and it would have been a big upset for Tyson Fury. The commission let it go on, and the fight could have been stopped, and Tyson Fury won unanimous decision.
Next up for Tyson Fury, possibly a rematch with Deontay Wilder in February 2020. Is that still in the cards, so to speak, Namdi?
Well, Deontay Wilder will have to defeat Luis Ortiz in a rematch November 23 at the MGM Grand. You remember that fight? The first fight was where Luis Ortiz had Deontay Wilder in trouble in the seventh round. It was a rematch. If Deontay Wilder knocks out Luis Ortiz or comes out shining, and Tyson Fury is able to heal on time, yeah, that's the fight we want to look at for 2020 February. Because remember the first fight in Los Angeles at the Staples Center was a very, very controversial fight. So it would be like, unfinished business, let's do it again. The winner of this fight with Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder will then be in a position to take on the winner of Anthony Joshua against Andy Ruiz coming up in Saudi Arabia.
And speaking of AJ Andy Ruiz in Saudi Arabia, how is that fight shaping up, Namdi?
AJ's trainer, Rob McCracken, said recently it will be a normal camp, a normal training for the rematch. Well, you know what we've said before, after that fight, Sonny, the first fight, things have to change, you know. And the question becomes, will AJ bring the same style and flaws? Can he improve in the rematch? Conditioning, defense, will he be mobile? Remember the last fight? Ruiz had only 5 weeks to prepare for the fight. He will get better this time around. He will be fast and stronger. Andy Ruiz will be the pit bull. He will come at Anthony Joshua. How will Anthony Joshua react in a very tense, pressure fight? December 7th, the question becomes, will fans from the UK and the US all troop into Saudi Arabia for this fight? You don't have to go through a whole lot of hassle to get there. The weather and all that. For me, personally, the fight belongs in the UK, you know. So the stadium will be ready before December 7th, and it will be a beautiful venue, and we'll get to see a good fight. But I think the UK fight fans have been shortchanged. We have to be real about it.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. And we'll hear more hard-hitting boxing commentary from Namdi later this week. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In Rugby World Cup action Tuesday, South Africa thrashed Canada 66-7 in Kobe, Japan to book a place in the quarterfinals. Kobus Reinach tallied a hat trick in the opening 20 minutes for the two-time world champion Springboks of South Africa. And fly half Elton Jantjies kicked his way to 16 points. Canada trailed 47-0 at halftime. The Canadians played more than half the match with 14 players after Josh Larson was sent off for a shoulder charge into the head of Thomas du Toit. South Africa's head coach, Rassie Erasmus, said he was happy with his team's performance.
Yeah, obviously it was a short turnaround for the guys. There's a lot of guys that hadn't played for a while, so it was scrappy at stages, but I can't moan about 10 tries, you know. Obviously they got a red card that made it a little bit easier for us, so overall, no, not too bad.
Coach Erasmus and the Springboks now await their quarterfinal opponent. Rassie says he'll give his boys a couple days off, but then more training as South Africa aims for a third Rugby World Cup trophy.
Yes, obviously, I think the big thing is we have to see who we're going to play now in the quarterfinal. We only know that by Sunday. Yes, we give the guys 2 days off, and then on Friday we'll be back on the horse again.
Back on the horse again. Ride 'em, boys. Ride 'em. Meanwhile, the captain of the Springboks, Siya Kolisi, praise the rugby fans in Japan.
Oh, it's been amazing. The people of Japan have really came out. Every single town we've been to, it's really been amazing. We appreciate everything you guys do. Thank you for supporting rugby, and thank you to World Rugby for bringing rugby to Asia. It really means a lot.
The Rugby World Cup quarterfinals are scheduled for October 19th and October 20th. The semifinals will be played October 26th and October 27th. And the final will be staged November 2nd in Yokohama, Japan. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The National Basketball Association is facing a big controversy in China, as we hear now from VOA's Gwen Uten. Hi, Gwen.
Hey there, Sonny. On Tuesday, Chinese state television, or CCTV, announced it will not air any NBA exhibition games taking place in the country this week and will also temporarily suspend all preseason broadcast arrangements with the NBA. The announcement is the latest in the fallout from a weekend tweet sent by Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey, where he expressed his support for anti-government protests in Hong Kong. That tweet has since been deleted with an apology from the NBA, but that hasn't been enough to assuage the Chinese government that took the tweet as a direct insult. The backlash against the NBA has been swift. The league has lost sponsors and broadcasts in a country that has the second largest economy in the world. And Chinese fans have said they will not attend any preseason games as a show of support to their country. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver held a press conference on Tuesday and said while the league regrets Morey's remarks, he is in full support of free speech.
The long-held values of the NBA are to support freedom of expression, and certainly freedom of expression by members of the NBA community. And in this case, Daryl Morey, as the general manager of the Houston Rockets, enjoys that right as one of our employees. What I also try to suggest is I understand that there are consequences from that exercise of in essence, his freedom of speech, and you know, we will have to live with those consequences. It's my hope that for our Chinese fans and our partners in China, they will see those remarks in the context of now a three-decade, if not longer, relationship.
As anti-government demonstrations continue in Chinese-ruled Hong Kong, governments in the West have been accused of stirring up anti-China sentiment, with China viewing outside intervention in Hong Kong as interference. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman Geng Shuang told reporters on Tuesday that his government's stance is clear. If the NBA wants to continue its relationship with China, the league must adhere to the voice of public opinion. Shuang says the NBA should pay attention to the reactions of ordinary Chinese citizens, and he says if the league wants to cooperate with China without knowing what public opinion is, it won't work. CCTV has released a statement expressing its strong opposition to Silver's support of Mori, saying in part, "We believe that any remarks that challenge national sovereignty and social stability are not within the scope of freedom of speech." Silver calls CCTV's reaction an unfortunate consequence, but stands by the values of the NBA.
I accept that we have a difference of opinion. I also think that as part of our core values, tolerance is one of those as well. And certainly, I don't come here sort of either as the commissioner of the NBA as an American, certainly to tell others how they should run their governments. I think, though, at the end of the day, though, I am an American, and there are these values that are deeply rooted in the DNA of the NBA.
CCTV has said it will not show the games between the Brooklyn Nets and Los Angeles Lakers scheduled for Thursday and Saturday, and said their relationship with the NBA is under review. The NBA is widely regarded as the most progressive of all sports organizations in the United States, and the current controversy threatens a decades-long multi-billion-dollar partnership between the NBA and China. The NBA is enormously popular in China, due in large part to Chinese star and Basketball Hall of Famer Yao Ming, who spent his career with the Houston Rockets. Tencent Holdings has exclusive internet streaming rights in China and reported 490 million Chinese fans tuned in to watch NBA games last season. However, the tech giant has said it will temporarily stop showing Houston Rocket games as part of the fallout. We'll keep you updated as this story develops. Sunny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African athletics, neighbors Kenya and Ethiopia were the top-performing African teams at the recent World Championships in Qatar. The Kenyans finished second overall behind the United States with 11 medals total, 5 gold, 2 silver, and 4 bronze. The Ethiopians were 5th overall with 8 medals, 2 gold, 5 silver, and 1 bronze. Nigeria, meanwhile, finished at the bottom of the table with just a bronze medal won by women's long jumper Esse Brume. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with a former Nigerian sprinter based here in the USA, Frederick Agbaje.
I wasn't really expecting much other than what played out. I know Esse could jump 7 meters before just a couple of weeks or before the World Championship. I know anything could happen at the World Championship, and I think she did prove that. But other than that, every other performer was expected based on what played out at the All African Games, which was 3 weeks before the World Championship. So I wasn't expecting much, and I would say I'm not disappointed.
What do you think should be done to ensure improved outings, given the fact that in less than 1 year, Nigeria will be taking part in Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games?
As for 2020 Olympic Games, yeah, it's already, you know, it's done and dusted.
When you say done and dusted, is it that we don't have any hope in Tokyo 2020?
We didn't prepare for it, so if you don't prepare to pass, you are preparing to fail, they say. So we didn't prepare for that. the Olympic, as far as I'm concerned. And we dare say we are not even ready for 2024, which is 5 years time. So we are not ready. So we should not be, saying we. Of course, we will be present, and if just anything at all wants to be, open for, it's still the same people that we, Ese Brume, Toby Amusu, and Ophelia, the 17-year-old girl who, as far as I'm concerned right now, she's the most talented 400-meter runner we have right now in the world. Nobody's talking about her. That is the only performer we should be expecting that, okay, yeah, she's, if we give her what she needed, then she will make us proud. But other than that, as I said, we didn't prepare for it, so we should not be expecting anything.
Do you have any advice for the Athletics Federation of Nigeria regarding 2020 and other major international events?
As it is now, the AFN, they need to be resuscitated to life. I have a word for Nigerian athletes in general. When I mean Nigerian athletes, I mean the past, the present, and even the future. It's that time we wake up and take responsibility for what is happening to our sports and figure out solutions. The game, I think the game of blaming the administrator, the government, is old. It's out of fashion. We should stop blaming those folks. I mean, the old track and field is the only sport. Nigerian athletic is the only professional I know that you see people put in 5, 10, up to 30 years doing the sport. And as soon as they retire, they just walk away. They walk away, then they expect, people who have little or no experience at all to come and turn the place of pride. It doesn't work that way. It's our time we bring our experience to bear.
That's former Nigerian sprinter Frederick Agbaje. And Frederick spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from the southwestern U.S. city of Dallas, Texas. In National Football League action Monday night, the San Francisco 49ers remained unbeaten, posting their fourth consecutive victory in a big win over the visiting Cleveland Browns. The AP's Ryan Leong reports from Santa Clara, California.
It was a one-sided blowout as the 49ers dominated the Browns 31-3. San Francisco set the tone on its first offensive play as Matt Breida ran for an 83-yard touchdown. Jimmy Garoppolo was 20 of 29 for 181 yards passing and two touchdowns.
It's a real family atmosphere we have in there. Guys, offense, defense, special teams, whatever it is, all interacting with each other, and it makes it fun. We're just coming off the bye week and everything, and coming back like this, it's good to have it happen.
The Niners are 4-0 for the first time since 1990. It was a game to forget for Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield, who was under constant pressure by the Niners defense and was just 8 of 22 for 100 yards and sacked four times. Odell Beckham Jr. only caught two passes for 27 yards.
It was Monday Night Football. Everybody, the whole world watched that and got to see that. So you really can't, you can sit here and put it on us, or you can sit here and say the 49ers played a way better game, and that's just what it is.
Ryan Leong, Santa Clara.
Thanks, Ryan. The 49ers and the reigning Super Bowl champion New England Patriots are the only undefeated teams in the National Football League. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Tweet me @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see an action-packed photo by Reuters photographer Dylan Martinez of Jamaican athlete Tisana Hickling competing in the women's long jump at the recent World Championships in Qatar. Great photo by Dylan. You get a Sunny Side of Sports salute. And that wraps up the October 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Rob McLean. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition,
brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, afrobeat and dumbolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is Science in a Minute.
The World Health Organization says the emergence and rapid growth of antibiotic-resistant bacteria, known as superbugs, are a serious worldwide health concern. Most scientists have placed the blame in the rise of antibiotic-resistant bacteria on the overuse of antibiotics to treat both humans and livestock for various ailments. New research conducted by British and Spanish scientists have found evidence that cigarette smoke can cause MRSA superbug strains to become even more resistant to antibiotics. The researchers found that the cigarette smoke stresses MRSA superbugs. The stress causes the already antibiotic-resistant bacteria to send out emergency signals, which increases the rate of mutation in microbial DNA that produces robust and tenacious variants that can better resist antibiotics. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.